Welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, the Savior of the world. We're gathered to worship, to proclaim Christ crucified and risen, to remember before God our brother Bill, to give thanks for his life, and to commend him to our merciful Redeemer, and to comfort one another in our grief. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We are buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we'll certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Our hymns this morning are some of Bill's favorite. Our first one is My Faith Looks Up to Thee, number 759 in your red cranberry-colored hymnal. Number 759.
Up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me, take all my guilt.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in a word of prayer, please? God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brother Bill. We thank you for giving him to us to know and to love as a companion in our pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us faith to see that death has been swallowed up in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we may live in confidence and hope until by your call we are gathered to our heavenly home in the company of all your saints. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. First reading this morning is from Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. and from John chapter 11. Jesus said to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." And for moments, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. "If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We continue with our solo. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A few weeks after I arrived in Petersburg, I started to find out a few things about Bill. The first thing I noticed was that he always seemed to show up early for church and sit in a chair by the door. When I asked him about it, he said something about being on time was important to him, and then he added, "It's okay if you can't be on time. Be early then." And so this Tuchako started to be his pastor. But Bill wasn't a new timer to the faith. Bill's time with church started early. He was baptized in Gillett, Wisconsin on July 19th, about a month after he was born. 14 years later, he affirmed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord when he was confirmed in 1950. Many of us mourn that he ended his time too early. Perhaps in light of his advanced cancer and decision not to seek further treatment, he decided it was better to arrive early. Bill wanted to come home and be near his friends for the short time that he had left after he returned from Juneau. I asked him why he sat in the back near the center aisle. He replied that he wanted to see the children come up as they came for the children's message. Though he and Fran never had children, he loved them. How else could he have been a shop teacher all those years? Helping shape the lives of other people's kids, many with whom he stayed in contact with. I visited with Bill last winter when his good friend Ken Callum was south receiving treatment. Bill didn't lament much, except if it was too hot or too sunny. But he shared how much he missed the days of sitting in the living room at Ken and Linda's, watching their grandchildren play. Bill's love for children reminds me of one of Jesus' encounters with children. From Matthew 19, "Then little children were being brought to Jesus in order that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples spoke sternly to them, but Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs.' And he laid his hands on them, and they went on his way." Today, we celebrate that Jesus has welcomed Bill, this child of God, into the kingdom of heaven. As I thought about Bill this week, some of my thoughts went back to the years he spent teaching students about woodworking in Petersburg, the summer he spent building his house with Dick Gressa, the beautiful woodworking of the Lord's Prayer here in the church. My mind gravitated to these verses from John. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." There is a dwelling place, a room prepared for Bill and all who believe in God. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Bill had a game that he liked to play. I know some of you played it with him. Bill would say, "I like to sit here in my chair," he loved his chair, "and play this game. I like to think about all the things that happened in my life that put me here in this place, in Petersburg, in this chair." Then he would ask, "What things happened in your life that put you in the chair that you were sitting in across from him?" As Bill contemplated on what put him in that living room chair, he might start off talking about the summers he spent fighting forest fires in Montana. Eventually, he would talk about how he sent his resume to all the schools in Southeast Alaska, applying for a teaching position. The day before he was to leave Wisconsin to come to Ketchikan to work for the summer, he received a job offer to teach in Petersburg. He replied that there weren't any interviews in those days. He signed it and mailed it back. The next morning, before leaving town, he checked the mail again, and in it he had another job offer, this one for a teaching job with Sitka for a little bit more money. He wrote back, "Sorry, you're a day late." On and on, Bill would reminisce about all the things that transpired to put him in Petersburg, in his house. In the end, Bill would say something like, "God has blessed me. This is a perfect place for me. Not too sunny, not too hot. God has blessed me, and I'm thankful." His thankfulness extended to the love of his wife, Fran. Numerous times he shared, "We had the perfect marriage. Bill told me that he and Fran never fought." And then he continued, "Well, once early on, I said something like, 'Now, Fran, why did you do that?' A tear came down her face, and I just couldn't say something to cause another tear." Most of you know more about Fran than I do. I've heard of his devotion and love for her, how he married her twice but never got divorced, how he cared for her during her failing health, how Kimberly assisted. But when I read Fran's obituary this week, I was drawn to how during that time of loss, Bill thanked you, the community of Petersburg, for helping him take care of Fran during those years. Bill was thankful for those years with Fran, for the faith they shared, and for this community. Today I'm drawn to Psalm 95 when it speaks of thankfulness. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving." Bill frequently came into the Lord's presence with thankfulness. Sometimes it was in the chair in the back of the sanctuary. Sometimes it was in the seat of his boat as he made his way up the Stikine to his cabin. Thousands of hummingbirds will miss the 5-gallon hummingbird feeders which hung from his porch. We may yet have a recession without Bill's annual purchase of 600 pounds of sugar. Thankfully, Jim and Andy fed some of those hummingbirds last summer. Today, I'm thankful for the events in Bill's life that drew him to sit in that chair in the back of the church so faithfully over the decades and also at the Catholic Church, which also draws me to wonder what events in your life have drawn you into a faith relationship with Jesus or not. My sense is that you're sitting here today because somehow Bill touched your life. That's what put you in the seat, the pew that you're in. I'm thankful that you're here. Bill would be smiling. I know that Bill would also hope that you share the comfort that he found sitting in that chair back there, singing hymns, praying, knowing that his Father had prepared a dwelling place for him and for you. My prayer is that someday you will join him in a dwelling place that God wants to prepare for you. As you may know, Bill enjoyed having guys over for coffee in the morning. A lot of guys are going to miss that time. One of the unique things about having coffee is that next to where Bill sat hung a ball connected to a bell. If the conversation got too political, too racy, or the topic of health issues turned into an organ recital, he would ring the bell. The world would be a better place if we had a few more people with the integrity to ring the bell from time to time. I don't know what heaven looks like, but I imagine there's a new coffee group there with some familiar faces like Pete Beckett, and some old country music is on in the background. Perhaps Bill is telling Pete one of his favorite stories, the one about his three-month, 700-mile canoe trip from Lake Superior to Hudson Bay. As he said, it was a trip of a lifetime. As you may know, Bill seldom threw anything away. One of the treasures from that trip some 50 years ago still rested on his coffee table. It's a partial box of strike-anywhere matches that had paraffin poured over them. On the canoe trip, they would scrape the wax off the matches and use them. Our thoughts are with you, Kimberly and Laverne, as you sort through all those treasures in the coming weeks. Bill was a remarkable man. That doesn't mean that he always followed the rules. While most of us may have fed a squirrel a peanut, Bill tells the story of feeding a black bear a candy bar. With one hand holding onto the camera above his head and one candy bar in his other hand, while the bear's throat was in his face. As a side note, he would casually recall, "My legs were bleeding because of the claws of the bear climbing on my leg." I'd say it's only by the grace of God that Bill lived through that encounter to sit in that chair back there. But in the end, it's only by the grace of God that any of us are sitting here today. None of us earned the right to be born. None of us know how many days we have left. Our lives are a gift. Bill knew that and celebrated it. Today we entrust Bill to God's care, which sustained him in this life. Bill gathered faithfully to hear of God's love for him, to sing praises to the one who loved him first. He gathered to confess his shortcomings, to receive God's forgiveness. He was nourished around this table where he received Holy Communion, a meal of bread and wine given for the forgiveness of sin. He was sustained through this meal as he received it in the hospital following his stroke, and more recently sitting in his chair at home with Kimberly, his caregiver, and others. We now entrust Bill to his last journey with God. Let us give thanks to God for his life, for God's faithfulness, which sustained him in this life and will sustain him in the life to come. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing our next hymn, number 742. may be seated. I invite you to join together in confessing the Apostles' Creed as printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, your days are without end, and your mercies cannot be counted. Make us aware of the shortness and uncertainty of human life. Let your Holy Spirit lead us in faithful living, so that when we have served you in our generation, we may be gathered with those who have gone before us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death will daily remember their baptism, living lives marked by daily confession and daily receiving your forgiveness, always trusting in your mercy and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant to us who are still in our pilgrimage and who walk as yet by faith, that where this world groans in grief and pain, your Holy Spirit may lead us to bear witness to you and your desire for justice for all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all grace, we give you thanks because by his death our Savior Jesus Christ destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us grace to entrust Bill Newman to your never-failing love, which sustained him in this life. Receive him into the arms of your mercy. Remember him according to the favor you bear for your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our last hymn is number 856, How Great Thou Art, number 856.
Sweetly in the tree.
Let us commend Bill to the mercy of God, our Maker and Redeemer. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant Bill. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of your saints in light. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen. I thank you for your thoughts and prayers and acts of kindness these past days for the family and friends. I invite you to join us now for the services at the graveside. If you decide not to go to the cemetery, please join us next door in the Holy Cross Hall at noon for a potluck meal and an opportunity to share stories and fellowship. Thank you for coming. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Amen.